Bradbury resident Graham Jones made the challenging decision during the Cherry Gardens bushfires to stay and defend. Since then, he and his family have been helping the local community to recover. He joins me for a chat about it 5 months on. Hi, Graham.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, really well, thank you. And we will talk in a moment about what the clean-up's been like and all that. But take us back to that day. It sounds like you already made the decision that you would be staying and defending.
Yeah, there was a group of us. Oh, gosh, it was 7 or 8 years ago, I guess, in the, you know, sort of the local community. We all did fire plans and that kind of thing, so we're all set up for that. Our plan's always been to stay and defend. We've built the house here, we put a bunker under it, and we put all the fire hoses on and things like that, so we felt we were pretty defendable. I guess we were right in the end.
Yeah. So take us back to that day the fire swept through. Take us through what happened.
It started off to our west, I guess, and we really watched it loop around us through Scott Creek and Mount Bold for 4 or 5 hours, right around to the south. So it just travelled slowly through the park, and so we spent that 4 or 5 hours preparing and hoses on and wetting everything down. But, you know, probably for 3 hours we really had no idea whether it was going to get to us or not. And then the last hour we knew we were in pretty big trouble, and we all spent 20 minutes feeling like it was right on top of us and any second it was going to be here. And it probably took 20 minutes to actually do it. You know, it wasn't a hugely windy day, but certainly when it came up over the hill, it was creating its own little firestorm. So, you know, all of a sudden you realise that the wind that was blowing in your face is now being sucked very strongly back past you in the other direction towards the fire. So then it all got a little bit chaotic for a while. You know, my daughter and my wife were here on hoses, and we had the two little boys down in the bunker.
Oh, wow.
It was just so crazy.
So how old's your daughter?
Our daughter's 19.
Yeah, right. So that would have been a big experience for her.
It was huge, and she was amazing. But our plan that we did 5 or 6 years ago, the plan was always that she would be down in the bunker with the younger kids. But, you know, we very, very quickly realised we've got three hoses outside and we need three people, and we changed that part of the plan on the fly. And the most anyone got sleep-wise that night was an hour or so. And I remember telling Mary at 3 o'clock in the morning, you need to go to bed and get some sleep and try and just get a couple of hours. So, yeah, so she was, it was quite the experience for her, I'm sure.
Wow. Graham Jones is with me. He's a Bradbury resident. We're talking about the Cherry Gardens bushfires. And you managed to save the house, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a big shed and the house, and so I was up in the shed, and Mary and Jess were down on the house. That's basically the three things on our 20 acres that survived. Everything else, you know, fences, sheds, you name it, pretty much everything else disappeared. The fire kind of, we bought a Mount Bold on Mount Bold Road, so it just came up out of the park straight at us and went through our property. And somewhat upsettingly, the next day you go up and look at our back fence and the lane across the back of our place, and that's where it stopped. Because it came out of the park and just, you know, it just didn't have the fuel load that it had there. So you know, the kind of theory, if it's wet, it doesn't burn, held pretty well for us.
Cause yeah, wow.
If it was wet, it didn't burn, and if it wasn't wet, it certainly did. So,
yikes. Yeah. So how's the cleanup been for the rest of the property?
Slow to this point, to be honest. We have two horses that got through as well. They were just near the house, which was really lucky, and the CFS guys helped with that once they rolled in. But we have enough. We just sort of had enough fences around the house area for the horses to be okay, and so the rest of my place has kind of stood pretty stagnant for a while now while we help neighbours with fences out further afield and just try and, you know, I guess we've been concentrating on trying to help some of our neighbours as much as we can get back up to speed, and we're sort of really just coming back to our place now. So I feel like I'm halfway through the list of what we've got to do, but a long way to go.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing a lot to support your neighbours and also Disaster Relief Australia. What's that experience been like?
Yeah, that's been really good. We had Habitat for Humanity, we're another group, and a lot of the same people, to be honest. It's the same volunteers that are working for them for working for Disaster Relief. So they came through earlier and they helped with a lot of the rolling up of the burnt fences and things like that. You know, and pulling down some sheds and just, you know, cleaning up people's gardens a bit and things like that. And then Disaster Relief came in a bit later, just in the last month, and they've been a lot more on chainsaw work and helping with trees, and, you know, and that's super helpful as well, right? We've got some, seems silly little stuff, but, you know, we all had firewood stockpiled out here that all disappeared, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of winter and you've got no sheds and you've got no firewood, and we're all reliant on wood heating. So, you know, so the Disaster Relief guys, stuff like that were really helpful, right? Just trying to get everyone back up to speed so there's just one less thing to worry about. Yeah, they're fantastic. But, you know, all lovely group of people, right? They're all volunteers, and well, quite a number of them were from the fires over the other side in Lobethal last year, who got help from these groups and then have been volunteering for us since after they saw the impact that had. So, really, really helpful.
Obviously a really horrible thing to experience, but it must give a sense of camaraderie and community.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's one of the nice things, right, is, you know, we've had a lot of people through here. We kind of, we ended up as a bit of a default base for people coming in and doing things. And, you know, the disaster relief guys had their trailer in our shed for the time they were here and things like that. And I was in the Ash Wednesday fires down in the southeast. We lost 1,000 acres down there and saved the house, you know, in 83. And one of the things I remember from that is all the, you know, farmers turning up in a car from New South Wales and just stopping at our place and saying, okay, where do we start fencing? And trying to, you know, I remember that from back then when I was 12, so I've been hopeful that our kids will see that as well, right? But, you know, there's a lot of people here that were pretty upset about how this fire allegedly started. I like showing the kids that, you know, for one, you know, for probably one person's not such a great act, there's a lot of people that want to do a lot of good things for you and you know, make sure the kids see all the people coming in and all the people that want to help and just try and negate that negative side to it a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, that's wonderful and really cool to see that you're instilling in your children great messages and that your daughter has played such a role in supporting the family as well. So I really appreciate your time today, Graeme. Thanks for joining us and having a chat.
No problem. Thanks for the call.